Hello, I'm Darren Nonis. I'll be your host for this podcast episode on effective communication for learning. With me today is Dr. Paul Doyle, Deputy Director of Research at the English Language Institute of Singapore, or ELIS. Dr. Doyle led the ELIS team that supported the whole school approach to effective communication in English. This was a professional development initiative for primary and secondary schools and the junior colleges, which ran from 2012 to 2019. Hi, Dr. Doyle.
Hi, Darren. Great to be here.
Dr. Doyle, could you tell our listeners, what do you mean by effective communication?
Well, let's talk about communication first. Communication is an interactive process of sharing information and feelings between people. This interactive process involves the co-construction of meaning by speaker and listener, or by writer and reader. We can say that communication occurs when the listener or reader understands the information or the feelings being conveyed in the way the communicator intends. Put like this, of course, communication sounds rather complex, but let's not forget all of us engage in communication for most of our waking lives. It's a central part of what it means to be human.
That's interesting. So how would you define effective communication?
That's a very good question, and rather difficult to answer. A simple way of thinking about this is to consider four important elements of communication: purpose, audience, context, and culture, or PACC for short. Without a clear purpose, communication often breaks down, or it is impossible to tell whether you were effective or not. If the message and language are not tailored to your audience, you may lose their interest and eventually their attention, or they may simply not understand you. In addition, there's always a context for communication, such as the location, the time of day, the objects and people present, the social practices people are engaging in, whether it be lunch, a sports event, a business meeting, or a YouTube video. Context always affects how meaning is made and understood, and gets into the language that we choose for effective communication. A simple but profound example is whether a speaker chooses you or we when addressing an audience. Likewise, the culture too is important, and not just because we are using languages other than English. In the school context, we can think of subjects as being almost like different cultures. Every subject has its own ways of creating knowledge and meaning. So the communication skills required are different. For example, what constitutes an essential question in history is quite different from an essential question in science.
An interesting point you brought up relates to the school context. You say different subjects can be seen as different cultures. So I guess it is important to be aware of these differences. This means that when we talk about developing students' effective communication, it cannot be solely the responsibility of the English language teachers. Am I right to say that?
That's exactly right, Darren. In ELIS, we've argued that a key aspect of developing our students' communication skills should be the understanding that this applies across all classrooms. Even though in Singapore the medium of instruction in our schools is English, it is not solely the responsibility of the English language teachers to develop students' communication skills. As you know, communication is a key 21st century competency, and I'm sure we all agree that the 21st century competencies are a school-wide responsibility.
What does all this mean for teachers?
Well, it means that students should be able to use the precise and appropriate language of the subject they're studying. So they need to know how to read, write, listen and speak, view and represent in, say, mathematics, or chemistry, or history, or geography, and so on, and become fluent in these academic types of English, and learn to think within these languages. So effective communication is not just the precise language and appropriate communication skills that students develop in English language classrooms, though these are critically important. It's also the precise language and appropriate communication skills of sciences, of mathematics, of humanities, and so on.
That's interesting. Could you elaborate on this?
Yes. Okay, let me say a bit more about that. Curriculum subjects differ in their communicative purposes, their typical text structures, and characteristic language features. So, for example, scientists report on experiments so that the experiment can be replicated by others. Therefore, precision in the description of procedures, apparatus, measurements, and observed results are paramount. Historians, in contrast, may question the reports of those who witnessed events in the past. Thus, a science report of an experiment differs from a witness's report of an event in history along these three dimensions of purpose, structure, and language. Linguistically, these distinctive differences in how texts are organized, how the vocabulary is selected, and how grammatical choices are made constitute the subject-specific literacies that students need to acquire.
So what you're saying, if I understand you correctly, is that effective communication in school implies that all teachers will skillfully use subject-specific language to help students better understand the concepts.
Yes, that's right, Darren. And also, given that English is the medium of instruction for all subjects in Singapore schools, except for the mother tongue languages, the ways of communicating different disciplinary ideas and thinking, that is, the literacies of these subjects, contribute to the overarching goal of students as effective communicators. That is what is meant by subject literacy.
So what you are saying is that every subject teacher must be aware of their subject's specific literacies and explicitly teach students how to communicate effectively in their subject area.
Yes, and the English language teacher alone cannot do this. Developing students' effective communication must be the responsibility of every teacher.
Thank you, Dr. Doyle, for explaining the importance of developing students' language and communication skills in all subjects.
You've just listened to an episode of the Effective Communication for Learning podcast series from the English Language Institute of Singapore. To find out more about the ELIS podcast, visit go.gov.sg/ELIS podcast. Thank you for listening.